I was contacted by the provost office at Houston Baptist University, and they were asking me if I was interested in coming to work here. I've got a lot to handle right now with what I'm doing. And I was told that they were putting together this great apologetics program, and they really wanted me to be a part of it based on what they saw I was already doing. And so I was invited to come out and be a part of the team that started up this whole apologetics program.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Mary Jo Sharp from the Houston Baptist University School of Christian Thought joins us today. Mary Jo is known for her expertise in public speaking and writing, assistant professor of apologetics. She shares relational connections in apologetic engagement. And she's written an influential Bible study, How Do You Believe That? Thousands of churches are using it, a contributor to several collected works of apologetics, including A New Kind of Apologist, and In Defense of the Bible, and a regularly writes curriculum with Lifeway Christian Resources. Welcome, Mary Jo.
Hi, good to be here.
Oh, we're just honored to have you today.
Thank you.
I remember when I saw you and Holly and Nancy and Melissa on the front cover of Christianity Today.
Yeah, that was quite a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and when I saw that, I thought, you know, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
I've always loved the way Luke and Acts was careful to notate women God used, and not just men, but women.
Yeah.
And of course, Romans 16, Paul cites all the women, and we know women are so powerful for God. So you've got a great ministry.
Yeah.
I've just watched you from a distance and been so impressed, and we've prayed for you, and it's neat to see how God's using you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, tell us how all this began. How old are you? 25?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. New best friend. No, I'm 43.
Uh-huh.
This all began back when I was a younger Christian. It goes back to sort of early after I became a Christian, which I became a Christian when I was 20 years old. So I went off to college and became a Christian. You know, I'm blowing the statistic there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I became a Christian young, and it was from my interaction with other Christians in the church that caused me to start to doubt. And not just my interaction with other Christians, but how Christians treated one another in the church. It caused me some emotional doubt that led to intellectual questioning about how I knew God was real and why would I say things like Jesus rose from the dead? I didn't have any substantial evidence on that. So I went looking for answers to my questions, and I ended up in a field called apologetics, which I had no idea was a field. I didn't mean to get into this field. I just sort of stumbled into it by trying to answer my own doubt. And so I found a degree in apologetics.
at a Bible college? Or
yeah, Biola University.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was reading through the Christian Research Journal, and I saw an advertisement for their apologetics degree. And for me, it was kind of funny because I was a band director at that time. Mm-hmm. And my goal was to go on and get a master's in music education so then I could teach in the college. At a college level, and then I was going to go on and take a symphony orchestra. So I was dreaming small, but that just sort of all blew up when I went through that time of doubt. And then I see this advertisement for Biola, and I knew in that moment that's what I was going to do. Like I wasn't going to keep pursuing my master's in music ed. I was going to go after this. And at that time, my husband was like, "Okay, well, that's great. What is it? What is this? You know, what are you going to do with it?
What are you apologizing for?"
Yeah, yeah. Actually, my dad said that. He said, "Hey, I'm getting a Christian apologetics degree." And he said, "Well, it's about time you Christians start apologizing." Oh, Dad, that's not what it means. But yeah, I went and got my degree in apologetics. I was challenged by a professor there during one of our courses to do it was a homework assignment, really. You should, he said, you could either do a conversation with someone one-on-one, just private email, about evidence of the resurrection, or you could start a blog. a blog on evidence of the resurrection, right? Defending the resurrection. And I'm from Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. So
one of the most unchurched places in America.
Yeah, so that seemed kind of weird that I'd be so public, because religion's kind of private up there, and that's not just something you just get into conversation with people you don't know about. So anyway, I'm looking at this, and I think, I'll do the private email. That's good. And I did that, but I never felt right about shying away from the public proclaiming of Christ. And so it gnawed at me, and I always tell people, I was like, the Holy Spirit was working on me for months. And finally I gave in, and I started a blog called Confident Christianity to defend the resurrection.
Mm.
And once that started up, boy, this whole ministry took off. I didn't mean to have a ministry. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the plan. The plan was to be that conductor, the orchestra conductor. So I got into apologetics, really not meaning to get into apologetics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's beautiful. And I mean, your Bible study, I've heard a lot about in defense of the Bible. Why that?
Oh, why do in defense of the Bible? Well, because we live in a time in which people will reject the biblical authority. And from what I'm seeing, they're not really rejecting the biblical authority for any good argument or any good reason. They're just rejecting it because it's sort of where we are as a culture. And they're hearing a lot of sound bites against the Bible. They're hearing a lot of things through social media, but it's not that they've taken time to carefully investigate for themselves whether they should trust the Bible. And so In Defense of the Bible was a collection of authors who have written, theologians, apologists who have written specific areas where their expertise lies on defending the authority of the Bible and why you can trust the Bible as God's word.
And then from Biola, you did a master's. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's that degree I found in the Christian Research Journal that was advertised. So I went and did an apologetics degree. It was a newer program at Biola University. And boy, when I got there, I told my husband, what I said earlier was that I started doubting what I believe based on what I've seen in the church. And specifically, I felt like the people who were professing belief in God weren't much acting as though it were true. And so that caused a little bit of a disconnect for me. I said, these people don't really believe it. Boy, I got out to that degree program at Biola, all of these people taking a degree in apologetics for the purpose of growing deeper in their knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. It's not to get a job somewhere. It was just they wanted to know God. I got so excited that I called my husband up and I said, Roger, I found the church. They're hiding out in a university in California. And he laughed. And I said, no, really, man, these people really, they want to know God.
Right.
And it was such an exciting time. That's actually where I met Nabil Qureshi and David Wood. We were, Nabil and I were in classes together, and David had come alongside with him. So those two guys, I bring them up because they were instrumental in the beginning of my ministry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I met them, started helping them with their debates. And
David brought Nabil to Christ.
David brought Nabil to Christ. Yeah, if you don't know who Nabil is, he's the author of Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, that New York Times bestseller. But so, yeah, those two guys sort of brought me along, started me helping out with their debates, and eventually moved me into debating. And so
So let's hear about your debates.
Oh, you want to hear?
Yeah.
Well, the first one was a debate with a Muslim man. It was in a series of debates called the Great Debate Series in Michigan. And we debated on the proper title was Did Jesus Die on the Cross? That mm-hmm. was the title. So that one went really well. It went really well, and so then it was like, okay, she's a good debater. So then the next one was with a female Muslim apologist, which you don't hear many of those. Her name was Tabassum Hussein, and I was invited to go up to Canada and do this debate at a mosque in Toronto.
Wow.
That's what was unique about that one. The other one, the Great Debate Series that I did with a Muslim man, was in a church.
Sure.
But this one, I was invited to do in a mosque. Mm. And I would say that the audience was probably 85% Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. But we debated the view of women in Christianity and Islam, trying to show that Christianity had a higher view of women than does Islam. It was a great, great time. We actually partnered with a ministry that brought a whole bunch of tracts. They brought coloring books. They brought Bibles in Farsi and Urdu. It was awesome. Yeah. And handed them all out.
So, I want to hear about some of your ministry experiences, but tell me how you came to HBU and became a part of the School of Christian Thought.
Yeah, that was interesting because at the time I was just blowing and going with my own ministry, doing a lot of apologetics conferences. One of the areas that I had been really interested in was developing interest in women's ministries, that they would get interested in apologetics. And so I had been doing a lot of work in women's ministries to introduce them to this field.
Sure.
When I was contacted by the provost office at Houston Baptist University, and they were asking me if I was interested in coming to work here. Actually, they asked me if I was interested in a job, and I said, well, I'm not really looking for a job. I've got a lot to handle right now with what I'm doing. And I was told that they were putting together this great apologetics program, and they really wanted me to be a part of it based on what they saw I was already doing. And so I was invited to come out and be a part of the team that started up this whole apologetics program.
Yeah, beautiful. What year was that?
That was in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have, and you're not a Texan.
So. Don't tell any Texans. I think they know. Yeah, I'm from Portland.
And your husband's from where?
My husband was born Texan. Mm. He was born in Amarillo, but he was raised in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So really, I married a small town Oklahoma boy. We're quite a pair.
Yeah. I love the joy you both exhibit. Tell us about your ministry experiences, and then I want to talk about your teaching here.
In ministry, I've been doing many different things. For one, like I've already mentioned, I do a lot of work introducing apologetics to women's ministries that have been doing traditional, you know, like Lifeway Bible studies. And so I have a Lifeway Bible study, which you've mentioned. I have another one called Living in Truth. That's a follow-up to the first.
Living in Truth.
Yeah, Confident Conversation in a Conflicted Culture.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's its subtitle. You know, that nice, you know, all the C's there. The alliteration. But so I do a lot of work there. But I've been doing speaking at Summit Ministries, which is a high school and college age student summer conference. It lasts for 2 weeks, and they do about 8 of them throughout the summer in Colorado and other places. But that's been one of my favorite things to do, go and speak to the college and high school students and then let them just ask me any question that they want during a thing called Porch Chat. We just sit out there and they just hammer me with everything. It's wonderful. I love it. So I've been doing a college, they'll do college camps, women's ministry, a lot of apologetics conferences. I speak and I will be speaking at the Evangelical Philosophical Society's conference. I'm a writer. I've been doing a lot of writing, like In Defense of the Bible, Come Let Us Reason. My area that I've been writing in those collected works is pagan mythology, that Jesus isn't a copy of a pagan myth.
which is a big argument that a lot of unbelievers make.
Yeah, it's very popular with that college age.
Sure.
You see a lot of that there. And so I've been doing some work in that, showing them how to address that issue. By taking them back to the sources, you know, look at the sources and make sure you're finding out where you're getting this argument from. Because when they go back to the sources, they don't see that Jesus' story is in any of those pagan sources.
Right.
So then it blows that up. But I've been doing that, and I've spoken with Ravi Zacharias, International Ministries up in Canada, and done their summer school. And so those are some of the neat things. I get to be on radio programs. I've done a few TV shows.
It's beautiful to see how God's using you and the gift you have. Now, in teaching here at HBU, are you teaching online or residentially or what?
I've been doing both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
The one that I do here on the campus is called Apologetics Communication. That's a course that I developed, and that's a course to basically reproduce myself so that we have more people out there who are able to aptly communicate apologetics arguments at a level that the average person sitting in a pew in a church can understand. So they're gleaning a bunch of arguments from the program, and now we want to distill that into some way that they can give to that average, you know, person in the pew. So I help them organize their thoughts and then give a vocal presentation, a verbal presentation, as well as we look at platform building and we look at how to design a whole ministry.
Is that undergraduate or?
No, that's a graduate, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's in our apologetics program.
Gotcha, okay.
We get a few people over from our Matt's degree as well, but it's generally the apologetics program. And it's been wonderful because I've seen students formulate what they want to do with the knowledge that they're gaining. And then they've gone out and they've started up blogs that have gotten picked up by other, you know, greater level blogs and news organizations. I've seen my students go out and do art events where they do an art series and it has apologetics as its undergirding.
Yeah,
it's just really neat to see what all they're doing with the things that they're learning through that class. So that's one. And then I teach world religions. I've been doing that. I'm doing that right now.
Now, is that undergraduate?
No, these are all graduate.
All graduate.
Yeah,
okay.
I used to teach undergrad.
Yeah.
I was doing logic.
Okay.
With the undergrads, but I've moved more over into the graduate.
And so in world religions, is that residential or online?
That one's online.
Online.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a fun one because we do Christianity the first week, and then we cover Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, and I throw in atheism as well at the end.
Mm. I've met a lot of those lately.
yeah, I've seen that.
And so when tell me, Confident Christianity, are you continuing the blog and that entire area?
Yeah, my blog, like you've mentioned, Confident Christianity, is something where I'm trying to give, on top of my speaking, on top of what I'm teaching, I'm trying to give another layer to people so that they can go read something and marinate on that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow my pattern in the study, Why Do You Believe That? I do the How to Have Better Conversation is to know what you believe, listen to others, question, and then have responses. So my blog sort of follows that pattern of you're either getting something in the know section, so you're learning about Christianity or the arguments, and then there'll be something on listening, how we can learn to listen better and what we're listening for. And then I go into questioning. I teach them how to do better questions, and I show them examples from my own engagements how to question, and then I help them with responses. And so my blog corner centers around those four elements of a conversation.
That's beautiful. Bible studies, we often think of ladies having Bible studies. You know, I know men do as well.
Yeah.
But I think you bring up a valid point that, you know, women and apologetics is a beautiful segue, a much needed segue.
Yeah.
Do you see a growth in women embracing apologetics?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I just got back from an event in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was speaking at a Southern Baptist church there to their women's ministry. And boy, they've been doing my study over and over and over. They're so excited because, for one, they see the importance of how the culture is becoming less and less knowledgeable about Christianity and more hostile towards Christianity. And so they're seeing that they themselves need to be prepared to answer the kinds of questions that are coming at them from, you know, secular culture. So they are actually now saying, oh, I can't just sit in the pew and, you know, not look at the world. I have to be ready to give a defense of the reason of my hope. And they see it not just for themselves, they see it for their children, that their children are being exposed to more and more ideas that are antithetical to the Christian faith. And so they're having to become knowledgeable about these questions so they can combat what their children are being exposed to.
Well, you know, there's no question. My wife and I have been really focusing on this demographic of nuns for nearly 3 years now. And it's just a little bit frightening when you see the number of adults religiously disaffiliating.
Yeah.
A believer not brought to maturity is a prime candidate for so many things.
That's a good way to say it, yeah.
I think Mormonism makes its boast that it gets more people out of evangelical churches in 1 year than we can their churches in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand why. I mean, they're catechized, but in the normal church today, there is not a traditional catechism or what we would call discipleship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see the fallout's massive.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly totally agree with that. And like in my own family, my daughter and I will talk about this. Actually, we give talks together about the importance of teaching your children what they believe and why they believe it, and how that affected our relationship and how it affected my daughter's view of God. As she was seeing, you know, her view of God was forming through what she was seeing in our own lives in the household.
Sure.
So, and I think that's part of the problem too. Not only do we not catechize and we don't teach the doctrine, not just, you know, we kind of send the kids to church and say, hey, our church, teach the kid. That's our responsibility in the home, is to be, they need to see in us that we care about doctrine. That's important. And they need to see, our kids need to see how it's important in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's, Emily talks, my daughter is Emily. She talks about that. She'll say, you know, I started to see my mom's desires changing. I started to see my mom's language changing and her interest changing when I was doing my, you know, studying on my own doubt. And she said, we started talking about these issues in the home because that's what mom was interested in. And I think sometimes we miss that point. That the parents have to be the ones that are interested. It can't just be, hey, we're not doing this in the church. It's got to be your own desire. That's how you pass it along to the kids. You model it.
So true. Jonathan Edwards said that every father is a pastor and every church, every family is a church, and there's no question that's true. Mary Jo, I just really make a lot of noise about the Masters of Arts and Apologetics at HBU. And I've traveled to hundreds of cities in the United States. I've been to lots of Christian universities, but I don't know of an aggregation of professors, apologists, like the group that is at HBU in the School of Christian Thought, this, and the Masters of Arts in Apologetics.
Yeah.
I want you to plug it and tell everybody why. I mean, really, my daughter's in Georgia taking it. She's a mother. She has a second baby on the way, and she's, Dad, I'm taking the Masters of Arts in Apologetics at HBU online. And I didn't even give her a commercial for it, and she was taking it. But why is it important for serious Christians, let alone pastors, and the continuing ed that should be conspicuous of anybody's in the ministry?
Yeah. The degree here specifically, like you said, the reason that this one's so great is because we have such great scholars here available to people. And those scholars are teaching their classes, you know. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get Nancy Piercy, and you're going to get Holly Ordway, and they're actually grading your papers, and they're actually doing that. So
writing comments.
Yeah, that's right. We're actually writing you comments. I think that's one of the things that is really great about our program, is that you get those scholars. So it's that conglomerate, but it's also, you know, you just, why would anybody want to get a degree in apologetics? And as I've been mentioning with the, you know, in the home, we have to combat some of that secular culture that's coming at us. Well, we need to combat it for ourselves as well. We need to know what we believe and be able to articulate why we believe it. And that's not something, you know, apologetics is not something that has been in our churches, but it's coming into our churches.
Yeah.
And so believers haven't been as trained in this area. And so they'll hear arguments like the pagan myth argument,
right.
Jesus's
right.
copy of Osiris or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And they've never heard it before.
Sure.
So the first time they're encountering these things are on the internet or out away from the church, away from scholars who know how to refute it. And so it blows up their faith. And I get this stuff all the time through my email. You know, I've encountered this argument, and I'm thinking, you know, church, we need to teach it in the church. So the first time they're encountering it is in a safe place, a place where they can get educated, they can get answers, and it's safe to do so, right? They're not just out on the internet.
Right.
So, you know, surfing around and
sure.
finding these things. So the apologetics degree program is one of those programs where they're going to be able to help others get that information, get it themselves, and then be a light in their community to start spreading around these great truths that we have to, you know, to answer these arguments that we've had for, my goodness, some of them 2,000 years, you know, the early church fathers writing on this stuff.
Right.
So I think it's important, as far as who we are as Christians, that we acknowledge this is a need right now in our culture. It hasn't always been as strong of a need because we've been a more Christian culture in the past. But right now, we need to provide a solid, strong answer to some of these sound bites that we're hearing that are just false. And they aren't very deep, and they're not coming from original sources. They're not coming out of deep investigation into the truth, but they're getting spread like wildfire because they're popular.
Sure. And the media, unfortunately, is skewed very much to the left, very much to the bizarre, very much to the eccentric. And, you know, unlike previous decades, the media is not skewed toward evangelical Christianity.
Yeah. And they're not, we're having phenomenons, you know, problems like fake news. So now we have to teach Christians how to think, you know, how to work through when you hear something, how to actually work through and process that. And I think we're missing that in Christendom. And so apologetics has come in as partnering along, you know, with our churches and saying, hey, we got to teach our people how to think well. So that's another reason. That's another reason to get a degree in apologetics, especially when it's available online, like it is here at the university, fully online. You don't have to leave your home to come take our courses.
Absolutely. And Mary Jo Sharp, you really exemplify so well the power of a female that gets engaged in God's word and is willing to change culture, you know. And so we really commend you, and we're so proud to have you a part of the team at Houston Baptist University. And I want to make sure they have your website. Is it confidentchristianity.com?
That's it, yeah.
Confidentchristianity.com. And, of course, the Masters of Arts and Apologetics at Houston Baptist University. Visit hbu.edu/MAA or call 281-649-3211. We're so delighted that you stopped by, and we look forward to you coming back, keeping us in touch of all God's doing in your life.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.